John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But now, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Then when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth up to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay on it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father, thank you for this message, Lord. Give me the ability to teach it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now understand this. Lazarus was a very precious person in his community. He was very loved by among his friends. The Lord loved him. The people loved him. He was a very popular person, and a lot of people cherished his presence and things of that nature. And we see this man, he is very precious, and he has passed away. And people are going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, if you had been here sooner, this wouldn't have happened. If you had been there, or if you had done that, then this wouldn't have happened." Can I tell you something? The Lord is never late. He is never late. And a lot of us are so spoiled rotten in a push-button society that we think that everything ought to be instantaneous. And these people in this context thought that he should have been there sooner. But the Lord is always on time. The Lord in verse 25, let's read verse 23 again. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again," in verse 23. And then Martha replies, and she said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So Jesus tells her he is going to rise. And she speaks of a general resurrection that is coming one day. She goes, "I understand that he's going to rise one day." But then the Lord says something very interesting to her. Verse 25, he says, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." This is a very interesting thing. The Lord identifies as the resurrection and the life. He calls himself the light of the world. He calls himself the good shepherd. But in here, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Understand that there are certain attributes to people. You can say, "Well, this person is a loving person," or "This person is a caring person." These are attributes. And the Lord is loving. Those are his attributes. He is caring. He is a hearing God. These are his attributes. But there are some things that is his essence. Holiness is his essence. Truth is his essence. And in this verse, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Life is his very essence. The Lord reveals this unto her. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." The Lord is not just a man. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a rabbi. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good friend. He is the Lord God Almighty manifested in the flesh. And he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible reads, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. The Bible says in Him was life. Turn with me to John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord said that I am the resurrection and the life. He identifies with life. Understand this. He offers life. He offers life. Let's go back to our text in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Everybody keeps telling him, Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you had been here. And he is constantly groaning for their lack of faith. And he stands and he says, Lazarus, come forth. He even told them to move the stone, and they wanted to gripe at him and saying, Lord, we don't want to do that. Finally, they moved the stone and he says, Lazarus, come forth. A dead man came to life. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, he wasn't swooned, he wasn't knocked out, he wasn't asleep like a slumber. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him. And let him go. A dead man came to life. The Lord offered him physical life, gave him physical life. And this was not the only time this has happened. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. This woman had lost her whole family. Her husband was dead, and her only son was dead. She was alone. But the Lord comes to her, verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. Weep not. Don't cry. He had compassion on her. Weep not. And when he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And that he that was dead, not swooned, not knocked out, he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. What a thing. The Lord raised a dead man. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, what a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. God visited his people, amen. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Y'all are in Luke chapter 7. Let's go to the next chapter. Luke chapter 8, verse 49. Luke chapter 8, verse 49. while he yet spake, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Understand, the ruler of the synagogue had already come to him, and Jesus was on his way to go heal this child. And then somebody met him on his way to go heal this child, and they said, He's dead. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, he is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that he was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. The Lord rose people from the dead. He gave them physical life, but he preached everlasting life. If one can give you physical life, He can certainly give you everlasting life. And that is what this message is centered around today. The Lord wants to bless everyone. The Lord wants to take care of you. The Lord has compassion on you. But fear not, only believe. That is what He said. Fear not, only believe. The problem today is there are many people looking to get everlasting life in any way they possibly can other than what He tells them to do. How do you get everlasting life? Well, John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord wants to save everybody, but the world is too worried about getting to heaven their own way, don't they? They try medicinal science. They try surgery. They try herbs. They try crystals, and their efforts are in absolute total vain. There is a day appointed for a man to die, and after this, the judgment. But the Lord offers everlasting life to whosoever, and anyone and whosoever can come to Him and get salvation. Amen? Amen. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, the Lord is speaking, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is not a maybe. This is not a probably. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. And if you could lose your everlasting life, you could. If salvation could be lost, you'd lose it every second. But it wouldn't be everlasting life if you could lose it. The Lord offers everlasting life. Whenever He saves you, He completely saves you. He seals you unto the day of redemption. What a promise that is. Amen. Verse 48. Verse 48, John chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live how long? forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh. He's talking about his death, which I will give for the life of the world. What a Savior. What a Savior. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of the bread shall live forever. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. His message is life. He gives everlasting life. He wants you and I to have everlasting life. But man is constantly looking for ways to get to heaven except by what he prescribes to us in his word. And that is the sad tragedy today. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Y'all are in John chapter 10. Let's skip down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Bible just says that he gives everlasting life. His message is life. Life. All throughout the Bible, he offers everlasting life. You can ask the wealthiest man in the whole world, if money can buy the greatest thing in the whole world, what would you buy? He would say everlasting life. Well, you're not going to get it with money. You're going to get it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a man one time, he wrote a check for $10,000. He wrote a check for $10,000 and handed it to a preacher. And he says, ask God to do me a favor because I'm getting close to death. Wink, wink. And he said, I ain't taking your check because you can't buy your salvation. And he gave him the gospel. Money can't buy everlasting life. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to purchase your salvation. Amen? Atheism and evolution has death written all over it. What hope do they have to offer? It's death. They say it's survival of the fittest. Only the strong survive. But guess what? Even the strong die too. Even the strong die too. Death governs everything according to atheism and evolution. Death makes and drives change. There's no hope in that. There's no peace in that. Let me tell you about the one who can give you life. God is good, ain't he? Y'all are in John chapter 10. Let's back up to verse 15. You say, but was it the Lord crucified? Yes, he was crucified. But look at this. John chapter 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Whenever somebody kills somebody, we often say, that person took his life. That person took the life of that person. You read it in the newspaper all the time. Somebody took the life of this person. But the Lord laid his life down. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay my life down, that I may take it again." He's talking about dying on the cross and resurrecting from the dead. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. He has power to lay his life down. He says, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Y'all are in John chapter 10. Let's turn a couple pages to the right to chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 30. John chapter 19, verse 30. The Lord is hanging on the cross. His last words, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He laid his life down. The nails didn't kill him. The beating didn't kill him. The pain didn't kill him. The torture didn't kill him. It didn't kill him. He did not die till his work was finished on the cross. Everything the Lord does, he does it perfectly. Everything that the Lord does, he does it completely. Whenever he saved you, he completely saved you. He did not die till his work was finished on the cross. What was his work? He paid the sin debt at Calvary. He suffered hell on earth. Suffered hell on earth on that cross. So a sinner who deserves hell will not go to hell. Anyone and everyone who looks to him as Savior, anyone who looks to him and trusts him and his finished work on the cross can be saved. What a glorifying thing. It's wonderful. No one deserves to be saved. I don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve to be saved. We deserve to be in hell with our back broke. But God's own Son came down from heaven, lived a sinless, perfect, innocent life. He was the spotless lamb that laid his life down at Calvary's cross so you and I can be forgiven. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That is the message that you and I are commissioned as a church to preach. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. One of the last things he said to his disciples before he ascended up in heaven, go preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He did not stay dead. Death could not hold the one who was the resurrection and the life. Death could not hold him. He is the resurrection and the life. That is the message we are commissioned to preach. If he had stayed dead, our preaching would be vain. Our hope would be gone. One must believe that he died on a cross for them. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record his death, his burial, and his bodily resurrection. The gospel means good news. Good news. Good news. Gospel means good news. But you know what? There's a sad thing today. I've talked to a bunch of preachers, and there's a bunch of preachers that are coming out of the cemetery. You ask them, what's the gospel? Well, it's the good news. That's what it is, yes. But how would you feel if I come up here and said, hey, I got good news? Good news. Well, what's the good news? Well, I got good news. What's the good news? Well, I just want to say I got good news. Once you corner me up and say, what is the good news? A lot of times they can't tell you. They're dead men. They're whited sepulchres. Congratulations, you know Greek, but you don't know the Savior. You're nothing but a hell-bound intellectual. And I'm afraid that there are pulpits filled in America full of hell-bound intellectuals that don't know God. That's the reason why we are in the Laodicean church age. I have good news for you. You are a sinner. You deserve hell, but you cannot save yourself. But Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Death could not hold Him. The stone was rolled away, just like He raised Lazarus from the grave. Our Savior bodily walked out, defeating sin, defeating death, defeating hell. Anyone who can call upon Him, looking to Him for Savior, will receive everlasting life. He arose in His resurrection. His resurrection is proof that He is able to save to the uttermost. His resurrection is proof that He is who He is, the resurrection and the life. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, you know what behold means? Look at me real good. That's what behold means. Whenever the Lord says behold, He's saying, look at me real good. Behold, I am alive and forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. What a thing. What a thing. What a thing. Be not faithless. Believe. Be not faithless. Believe. What's the good news? Jesus died on a cross. He was buried and He rose from the grave on the third day. The Lord said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive and evermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. His victory is our victory. His victory is our victory. As sure as that tomb is empty, our sins are gone. As sure as that tomb is empty, our sins are gone. Washed away, white as snow. Y'all are in Revelation chapter 1. Let's back up a few verses to verse 5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us. You and I was not worthy of love, but He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The world has its own idea of what love is. They think it's two men holding hands. They think it's two women holding hands. Let me tell you what love is. Jesus died on an old rugged cross for you. And He was buried and He rose from the grave on the third day. That is the good news. It gives hope to the hopeless. It gives life to the dead. It gives peace to the ones who live in weakness. It gives strength to the weak. It gives hope to those who have no hope. Amen. What a joy it is to know that God who created the heavens and the earth loved you and me. What a Savior. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and is become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so Christ shall all be made alive. Watch this though in verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. The first fruits, what is that? That is talking about the Old Testament saints who went down to Abraham's bosom. He went down into Abraham's bosom. Jesus Christ did not go to hell. Jesus went to Abraham's bosom with the Old Testament saints. And whenever he arose from the grave, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he led the Old Testament saints of old to glory. But why did they go to Abraham's bosom? Because the blood of Jesus Christ was not yet shed for their sins. And whenever he shed his blood for their sins, he led captivity captive. Whenever he rose from the grave, he took Old Testament saints with him. Christ, the first fruits. Jesus and all the Old Testament saints, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. That is the rapture of the church. Whenever the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with him in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdoms of God. That is talking about the gleaning harvest, the tribulation saints. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And then the gleaning harvest, whenever he delivers up the kingdom of God, that is the gleaning harvest. He completes the covenants to the Jews and he delivers them up to the kingdom of God, and they go into the millennial kingdom, and he will rule and reign from the throne of David. But today, you and I have a body, a soul, and a spirit. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you die saved, your soul and spirit go to be in heaven with the Lord. But your body goes into a grave. One day, whenever the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will come up out of the grave. And if you're alive, you're going to go up to heaven to be with the Lord. And you will be united with Him, body, soul, and spirit. Everything that Jesus does it completely. Y'all are in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's talking about our bodies. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that's not talking about the trumpet judgments in the tribulation period. It's talking about a physical trumpet that they blow to announce His coming. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, have a glorified body, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This body of mine still struggles with sin. Your body still struggles with sin. Your soul and spirit is redeemed today as we sit, but your body still sins, and we have two natures. But one day, this fallen body of yours will be changed in the moment, at the twinkling of an eye. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then we shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. His victory is our victory. As sure as the tomb is empty, as sure as the stone is rolled away, as sure as the Lord is bodily sitting at the right hand of His Father, you and I have everlasting life. But if you don't believe on Him, if you are lost in here today, I got good news. Jesus died for you. And He rose from the grave on the third day. His victory can be yours. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Could it be that there are people who believe in vain in here today? Could it be that there are people in here today that they have it all up here, but they don't have it down here? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But preacher, I said a prayer in the altar. Well, if you didn't believe that He died for your sins and rose from the grave, that prayer is just going to make it no further than the ceiling. You say, well, preacher, I was baptized. Well, you come up, you go down a wet center, you come back up a wet center. But preacher, I go to this church. So? But preacher, I tithe to this church. Your money's going to burn with you one day. Are you washed in the blood? No one can save you but Jesus. Are you saved? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day and thank You for everyone who is here. If there be one lost under the sound of My voice, I pray that today can be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that if there's a wayward child who may be saved but they're backslidden, I pray that today they can renew their relationship with You, Lord. They didn't lose their salvation, Lord. Let them come home like the prodigal that they are, Lord. I pray for that prodigal son. I pray for the lost. Lord, may You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're in here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I invite you today to accept Him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior. Maybe you're in here today, you're saved and you know you're saved, but you haven't been as serious about your faith as you should have been. Maybe you want to come and renew that relationship with Him. Why don't you come and have a fresh start with your Savior today? If you don't have peace in here today, you don't have any excuse to walk out of here without it. Why don't you leave here with peace today? Why don't you come?